of my next guests for you are Jermaine Clement and Brett McKenzie. On their own, they're just two lovely, unassuming guys, but working together, they make for a kind of folk comedy explosion called The Flight of the Conchords. I first saw them at the Melbourne Comedy Festival a few years ago when they were billing themselves as New Zealand's fourth most popular folk parody act. They were painfully funny, and it was almost a relief when they were finished, as it allowed me and the rest of the audience to collect ourselves, dab our eyes, and get our breath back again. They've had total sell-out runs at the Edinburgh Fringe, and it's made The Flight of the Conchords one of the hottest names on the comedy circuit worldwide. And they've got an arrangement now with HBO in the United States for a 12-episode TV series due to screen next year. Jermaine Clement, Brett McKenzie, Flight of the Conchords, welcome to the Conversation Hour.
Thank you, Richard.
Hello.
Hello. You're all becoming a bit of a worldwide phenomenon for such a low-key, gentle act. How do you deal with the kind of near hysteria that's erupting around you?
Same way we deal with everything else. A little bit low-key, but seems to be working.
We don't really see much hysteria. I don't know if it's actually out there. We don't. We certainly don't witness it.
You don't witness it at all?
Not really. Not when we're in our flats in Wellington, we don't.
Right, people are standoffish, are they?
They are a bit.
Our flatmates.
Have you gone up in the folk parody ranking since it's been announced that you got this series with HBO?
Yeah, we're three. We're number three now.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'm going to play one of your tracks, which is your Bowie song. Tell me a bit about what Bowie means to you guys.
Well, he's an important musician for us. This song started when we... are you going to play the intro, or are you just going to play the song?
I'm going to go straight into the song.
Yeah, this one we were kind of driving around Wellington doing Bowie impersonations, and this is the song that came out of that.
Bowie's in space. And Bowie's in space. What you doing out there, man? Ooh, that's pretty freaky, Bowie. I hear that space is a pretty freaky place. And doesn't it get very cold out in space, Bowie? Do you need my jumper, Bowie? Does the space cold make your nipples go all pointy? And do you use your pointy nipples as telescopic antennae transmitting data back to Earth?
Data back to Earth.
I bet you do, you freaky old bastard, you.
Do you have one really funky sequence spacesuit, ma'am? Or do you have several changes?
Do you read me, Lieutenant Bowie?
What is it like to be the Starman up there, looking down on the Earth? You know, real...
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
What his life must have been like.
In space?
Yeah, well, he's not. He's based in New York now. But there was a time there in the 70s where he spent a lot of time in space.
So this is where you got to be able to separate reality from fantasy, Brett. This problem has got us into a lot of trouble before.
Such a face is all funky now.
Flight of the Conchords there performing live on stage. Their tribute to David Bowie. It's a beautiful song, guys. Has Bowie heard it yet himself?
I doubt it.
You doubt it?
I doubt it. Maybe. Maybe if he Googles himself a lot.
Do you think Bowie does?
I don't think he does. I don't think he does. There'll be too many fines. It'll take too long,
wouldn't it, to get to your song? I'm in conversation with Jermaine Clement and Brett McKenzie, who are Flight of the Conchords, and you have a new CD out, and that's from that CD, and that's been put out with the BBC. Tell me about the series you made with the BBC.
The Beeb. The old Beeb.
Auntie Beeb.
It's a radio drama comedy kind of show. It's not just songs. It's a six-part, half-hour, like kind of like a sitcom, but for radio.
Yeah, for the listeners, the part in the middle of the song where we started talking, that wasn't us live...
Talking now.
In the studio. No, not now. I realise it does sound like that.
Yeah, but, that's with technology. You can record things and then play them back.
Yes, that's part of our radio series. It's sort of a mockumentary following these two guys from New Zealand who go to London and try to make it in the novelty music world.
Given that's pretty much what's happened to you, are you sort of slipping into some kind of a fiction vortex there? Do you worry about that at all?
Yeah, we do draw on our real lives, and then we exaggerate them to make them more, or slightly more interesting. Yeah.
But we don't, yeah, there's no, we don't get confused.
You don't?
Right. I don't think so.
I mean, we play characters called Brett and Jermaine, but they're very different to the Brett and Jermaine you're talking to now. They're a lot more high energy.
More high energy?
Yeah.
More high energy.
Even more high energy than this. Yeah.
Tell me how you came to the attention of HBO in the first place in the United States. How do they catch sight of you guys?
HBO runs a comedy festival in Aspen, in Colorado, and
up in the mountains.
Yeah, and
it's kind of an excuse for executives to go into the mountains and go skiing, and then maybe watch a bit of comedy.
And how do they? I'm delighted that your humour has gone over well with them. How do you find Americans like that? They obviously sort of caught on to what you did. Were you worried at one stage you might not translate to the United States audience?
Well, we're probably worried now that we have to make a TV show over there. Otherwise, it wasn't a real concern. We only went over there to do a few live gigs and didn't expect very much from it. So, you know, if it goes badly, it goes badly. We come home and we tell everyone it went well.
Okay, I want to play another one of your songs here from your CD, and this is your song about fans. Tell me a bit about this one.
Oh, I don't know what one is.
About fans, what's it called?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just told it's called Fans. That's all. That's the name of it.
It's not one of ours.
Intriguing.
Sounds good.
Okay.
We need some new songs.
All right, okay. I'll play it, and maybe you can talk about it afterwards.
Okay.
Sometimes after gigs we get lines of women and girls just wanting to kiss us, really.
Yes, I mean, a kiss is okay, but, you know, it's when people want to take it a bit further where it can get a little bit awkward. And so we've written this song to help avoid that situation happening again.
A kiss is not a contract, but it's very nice. Oh yes, it's very nice. Just because you've been exploring my mouth doesn't mean you get to take an expedition further south. No, a kiss is not a contract, but it's very nice.
It's very, very nice. Just because we've been playing tonsil hockey doesn't mean you get to score the goal that's in my jockeys. No, just because I'm in an acoustic folk band doesn't mean I only want Wu-Tang. I can't go around loving everyone. I just wouldn't get anything done. Because I'm only one man, baby. We're only two men, ladies, babies, a pretty baby.
Flight of the Conchords performing live, and they're with me now, Jermaine Clement and Brett as well. Brett's with us as well, Brett McKenzie.
Hello.
You recognise that song now?
Yes, that's ours.
That's definitely one of yours, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's one of yours.
At the time we wrote that, it was completely fiction. We never had women or girls wanting to kiss us, but we knew if we planted it in the audience's minds that some people might be convinced. And occasionally, people want to kiss us now.
So it's a bit like a beer ad. You sort of create the thirst and then offer the product afterwards.
That's right. There was no thirst.
There was no thirst. It's the benefit of advertising, isn't it?
Maybe you want to kiss us, we suggest.
That gets the ball rolling.
That's right.
And the idea that wasn't there before is successfully planted. And then girls want to kiss you after that.
It's happened. Well, the first time it happened, we didn't know what to do. We were in, where was it, Brighton.
Yeah.
It was quite a big line. It was like 10 girls.
Yeah, maybe 7. Yeah.
And they were. I was rounding up,
they
obviously.
Using that. Was it the Swedish rounding?
I tend to round up to the nearest 10.
Yeah, and they were kind of playing along with the joke. But, yeah, it got a bit blurry. They were sort of like, come on, you said you were going to kiss us. And then...
This is embarrassing.
He's like, oh, that's just our characters.
So you got to be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Because it could just be a bit of an embarrassing mess, couldn't it, I suppose?
It could have been. It was embarrassing.
Brett, you appeared in a couple of the Lord of the Rings movies, and I understand you got a part in one of the movies, an actual speaking role.
I got to tell an elf. I was an elf. Yeah, Arwen, that's right. And I got to tell her to hurry up. It was awesome.
Pivotal.
She wasn't there.
Pivotal.
It was crucial for the third film to succeed.
She wouldn't have done anything
otherwise,
if Brett hadn't prompted her.
She runs off into the woods. I don't know if you remember, but if I hadn't been there, she probably wouldn't have done that.
She probably wouldn't.
And then
she would have just stayed there.
The film
would have
had a real stop. It just would have run out of steam, and then wouldn't have been such a success. And went on to win a lot of Oscars. And
five Oscars.
I didn't get credited at all with any of that with my line. But quietly, I think I influenced the success of the film.
If I look closely at the film, it's the hinge on which the whole series turns, I suppose.
Yeah, it's the crux. It's the turning point.
Subtly, though. A lot of people don't notice that it is.
Yeah, a lot of people don't even know it's me.
A lot of people don't remember it.
Even my family were surprised when I told them. I had to put it on. I just pause it as I play it through, just to show people it's me.
When you got boosted up to a speaking role there, does that mean you can sort of be more familiar with Liv Tyler, given that she was Arwen in that film? Did you?
Yeah, well, theoretically, but unfortunately they shot my bit after the film, and I just was talking to a ladder. She wasn't there.
It was blue screen.
So, yeah, it looks like I got to act alongside Liv Tyler, but she, yeah.
But you really, you could have taken advantage of that and just said anything you want.
That's true, and yeah. No one really knows that. I just act as though I met Liv Tyler and we got on really well.
I was just wondering I thought that would have given you like speaking rights if you'd sort of lined up beside her at the cafeteria, you know, at the studio. You might have actually just been able to say, oh, that was an interesting scene, wasn't it? But it didn't work out that way.
No, I had a few things I wanted to say to her, but yeah, didn't get a chance. But maybe one day I'll get to meet her and talk about how I had to act as though she was there and how I found that difficult.
Took some dirty elvish with her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jermaine, was there any sign that Brett was getting a little overconfident after he'd appeared in Lord of the Rings and become the hinge of that of those films? Were you a bit concerned about his behaviour at one point?
No, I think that's the biggest, that's the most big-headed I've seen him act about it just then.
Yeah. I thought I'd put a bit of energy into the interview.
I think you're getting out of control.
Yeah, sorry, I'll pull it back down. That wasn't me. That wasn't actually me.
Great to speak to both of you guys. And congratulations.
Pleasure.
Wish you all the best with your HBO series. And
Thank you.